show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop. Baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and as always, I have my co-host, Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Pam.
How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're well.
Of course, of course, and always excited when we have a show to do. And tonight we welcome Suze Lanier Bramlett. She's an actress, a singer, an activist, a producer, a director, and much, much more. Welcome, Suze.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here, and Happy New Year to everybody and to you, and to my hosts. Thank you.
Thank you. And Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
I think that 2013 is going to be an exciting year for everybody.
I hope so.
Seems to be starting out on the right foot.
I think so. It feels that way to me. I've always been partial to odd numbers, too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I gamble, I always go for the, you know, threes, fives, whatever.
Oh.
So.
That's funny because my favorite number is three, and it seems to always work for me, and then also the number 10. So I can't exactly pick the evens or the odds as a favorite since they're both one of
yeah.
these.
Right, right. Okay. So where are you actually located?
Oh, I'm in Chicago, and Dawn is in North Carolina.
Well, I heard a twang, so I...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mine will get thicker when Dawn talks.
Oh.
It's contagious.
Oh, yes, that's true.
And where are you from?
Well, I'm from Dallas originally, but I've lived in Los Angeles since 1974, I think, or 75, and I feel like a California native at this point. Yeah,
well, you
I still
definitely
have the
don't
Texas
sound
roots.
Like you're from Dallas with their accent, too, you know, that I've heard many times. So
right,
I think
right.
you lost it.
Well, I think it was kind of necessary. It will seep through, though. Have a glass of wine, and I start talking just like this.
Nobody ever talks like me, though.
Well, Chicago's the Midwest accent. It's the perfect accent, isn't it?
Yeah. It's in between everything, I guess. I don't know, just like we are. I'd like to start with having you talk about how you got started as an actress, and we'll go from there.
It's a great question. I was walking through a park when I was about, 11, and they were having a little play rehearsal audition. And I thought it was for a little play called Winnie, the Littlest Witch. And I decided to audition, and I got the role of Winnie, and I was 11. And it was just a kid's play. But it was so much fun, and I loved being in rehearsal and learning the lines and doing the play. I won an award in Dallas for doing that little play at the Parks and Recreation Center, and it just sparked my passion for working as an actor, entertainer. It, you know, all of that evolved as a singer and doing cabaret, but that's how it started. And then I actually ended up doing a radio show when I was about 14 or 15 at KBOX Radio, which was a rock and roll station in Dallas, also through sort of an audition. And from having won, that award and being in the theater as a kid, I got to do a radio show, and that really did open my eyes to what it was like to be professional, you know.
Well, sometimes the bug will get you early, sometimes it'll get you later, but, you know, it's a good thing it happened with you because you've been in so many different areas of the arts.
Yes, I have. You know, the artists that I know and I mostly, my social circle is mostly, composed of artists, are good in other art forms. Generally speaking, they don't just do one art form. A lot of them like to draw, photography, or you know, different, you know, it overlaps quite a bit into other forms. So, you know, dress design or whatever. I think some people are just more right-brained. You know, their right brain is more developed. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now,
yeah, I'm kind of in the middle. How about you, Don?
Yeah, somewhere, you know, I'm left-handed, so what do they say? We're the only ones in our right mind?
No.
That's all I'm going to say about that. But Suze, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the movie. As many people know, you are best known for starring in the original horror classic, The Hills Have Eyes. And I have always been curious what it is like to work on a horror film, because I know from a viewer standpoint, it scares me to death. I can't imagine what it would be like to actually work and be in a horror film.
You know, it's kind of, I don't find it being too much different than just being on the set doing a regular movie or a television show, in terms of the fact that you're directed to where your marks are, you've learned your lines a couple of days or the night before, you've rehearsed the scene, and you call action, and it is a technical art form of being in the moment and committing to the character. Now, there were a couple of scenes in The Hills Have Eyes that I guess were horrific, but because, you know, the scenes aren't really, you know, more than, definitely not more than 5 minutes long generally. So, you know, you're just in the moment of it. So the most frightening thing for me with The Hills Have Eyes was to actually see the final product. The very first time, it made me, you know, it's a scary movie. And so doing it wasn't scary. It was fun. It was just a lot of fun. And I find the genre, as long as they're done tongue-in-cheek or with a little bit of humor, almost like we're kidding, this is not really serious attitude, then they can be a lot of fun to actually work in.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've often been curious about that, and it's interesting that you would say it was fun. But I guess when you're actually creating the scene, you know, you're being directed, and so it's really hard. You get in the moment in one way, but in another respect, you kind of know, hey, this is just acting. So, you know, unlike the viewer who sees it as being something far more than that.
Exactly.
Watch through
our fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I will see other horror movies, and because I've been on the set so many times, sometimes if it's really scary, I'll just sit there and not really think about that part, but analyze how the scene was shot and analyze it from a technical point of view. But I get scared in films, too. I mean, there's certain films that have just horrified me beyond, you know, I mean, they're awful. And I don't like horror movies that are slasher movies or torture movies. You know, that kind of thing, and there's not some humor, like, we're kidding, this is not really real attitude. I think those I really don't consider those art, and I don't think they're in good taste, and I really wouldn't act in one. You don't know what the film is that you're doing until after it's over. You don't know what the final product is going to look like. I just always hope when I'm doing something, a film, that I'm going to be proud of the project in its entirety and not be embarrassed about the way it turns out, or that it would have a bad influence on society or an individual. That's my biggest fear about the genre, is that,
right,
that some of the directors are trying to top each other in going
with
too far, too far with the reality of what that is, and then it might affect a society in some way. I also have a fear of being tagged just a horror. I try not to do too many of them because I don't want to be just a horror, known in that genre.
Yeah.
My strongest genre has always been comedy.
And that's what I love.
Me too. I mean, my cabaret show is I have a cabaret show in town called Swamp Cabaret, and it's filled with Southern humor and female humor and, you know, humor about life. And to me, that's extremely important, is to keep a sense of humor about everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're no stranger to comedy, that's for sure. You know, having been in, you know, Welcome Back, Kotter, and also you, many people may not realize this, but you were the one who originated the role of Chrissy in Three's Company. And,
correct.
So talk a little bit about, you know, how those sitcoms came to be for you and what that was like working on them.
You know, a lot of people get jobs because of who you know. Both of those jobs that I got were really from the regular just go to the audition and get the job process. My agent sent me in to I did Welcome Back, Kotter first, and I auditioned for Jimmy Komak. I was cast as John Travolta's girlfriend, Bambi, a sweat hog. And this was the first season of Welcome Back, Kotter, and it was so much fun. The guys were fun. John Travolta was wonderful. Ron Polillo, we lost Ron Polillo and Bobby Hedges this last year in 2012. Mm-hmm. And but they were just fabulous. We had a great time. And they asked me to come back. I did a couple of shows, and then Jimmy did ask me if I wanted to. Would I consider being a regular? But I had just been cast as in Night of the Iguana at the Amundsen Theater, and I knew I was going to star opposite Richard Chamberlain, and I knew I was going to get to work with Tennessee Williams, which was my dream. I came to L.A. via New York, and I've always been I love the theater, and I love doing theater. And so I was not going to pass up that opportunity to do a sitcom, and maybe it was the wrong choice. A lot of people you know, you can't look back, but it was a choice I made at the time. I was young, and I really, really always wanted to do good projects and art. And that was more important to me than being a sitcom star, I guess, at the time. Mm-hmm. So from Welcome Back, Kotter, Three's Company was in rehearsal already for the second pilot to be shot, and they had let go of the girl that was playing Chrissy. They were already 3 or 4 days into rehearsal, and I'm a very quick study. And so they called me in, and I tested that night, and they had to fly the tape to New York. This is before internet emailing, you know. You know, there was no you send it. And they flew the tape to New York, and they called me like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'd gotten the role. So I showed up on the set sort of a stranger. I screen tested with John Travolta and Joyce DeWitt. And they called me the next morning and told me I'd gotten the role, get dressed, get over to the set. And it was very quick. I only had like 2 days of rehearsal, and then we shot the pilot. And Chrissy had the lead on that pilot. So I had more, you know, a big, big role on that pilot. And so I, learned the lines very quickly and shot the pilot. And for what many political reasons, my agent had, because I was a replacement almost before the tape date, my agent had negotiated quite a bit of money for the series if it was to go. And I don't know, for whatever reason, the network decided to get someone cheaper, so they did. And I mean, and maybe they liked her more. I don't know. I mean, I you know, I'm not behind those closed doors, but for those decisions. But I know they didn't want to pay the money that my agent had negotiated for the role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know things like that happen in the industry. I mean, you hear about it all the time via the reporters, the journalists, and TV and the internet and everywhere else, you know, you can hear about all that stuff. So, and you only, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. We don't know what's going on. We just take
what exactly. And I thought Suzanne Summers did a great job. You know, I'm happy for her, and she's done well with it. But you know, I just assume be me. So I mean, we all mm-hmm. get what we get. And you know, Hollywood is very political. It's about money. It's about who you know. There's so many elements that go into why somebody's working and somebody's not working. So to try to take it personally is very destructive. I did not take it that personally. I was disappointed, and I can certainly write a book about rejection in this town. But you know, I've been an expert at rejection, but you know, if you take it too personally or you let it get to you, then you got to get out of the game. You know?
I was going to say you won't last in that business at all.
No, because everybody gets let down and replaced, and you know, so you just have to keep going.
And you have to really have a thick skin, too. I mean, you have to grow one pretty quickly, you know, from what I understand. So, but, you know, you, in working with the sitcoms and working with, you know, people like John Travolta and John Ritter and, you know, and those guys on Welcome Back, Kotter, and to know that, you know, at least three of them are now deceased.
Right.
Gosh, I mean, it had to have been an honor for you just to now, you know, as you look back and think, you were one of the lucky few that got to work with them. And but in all of the things that you've done as an actress, do you have someone in particular that you've enjoyed working with the most, or a particular, you know, movie or show that you thought was just, this is just not necessarily the highlight of your career, but something that really stands out for you?
Well, I think a lot of the couple of them that really stand out is I was a series regular doing stand-up comedy myself on Tony Orlando and Dawn, and I worked, they teamed me up with George Carlin. And so I did a lot of sketches with George Carlin, and I really learned a lot about comedy from him. And that was definitely a highlight. And then also doing that play, Night of the Iguana, and working with people like Raymond Massey, who was such a classy actor. It was his last play that he did. And he was legendary. Another play that I did on tour was with Donald O'Connor. And I loved working with the amazing, legendary Donald O'Connor. He taught me a lot of the old soft shoe tap steps, because I could tap dance. So after the show every night, we'd go out, we'd put on our tap shoes and go out and entertain the audience with doing dance routines. And he never stopped dancing. He was an amazing dancer, even as a much older man. And he was a real professional. And so that was, you know, I think the theater experiences were definitely huge for me as just, you know, working night after night with these people rather than being on a set, working for a few hours with somebody and then saying good night. It was nice to meet you. I'll see you later, you know.
Right, right.
I did keep up my relationship with Bobby Hedges and Ron Polillo. I have not, I don't see John Travolta that often. I do see some of his family members from time to time. I run into them, and because Hollywood's actually a very small town, really. I mean, I went to a New Year's Eve party this year at just a couple of days ago at Dee Wallace's house, and she lives near me, and she had a New Year's Eve party, and it was, I hadn't seen her in a while, but I just did a new movie with her daughter. And, it, you know, it just all is kind of 6 degrees of separation with everybody, if you want to, you know, really be honest about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question from one of the people in our chat room, and they want to know, how do you choose a script to consider to work on?
I read it, and if I feel like it, you know, would be fun to work on. And I don't turn too much down at this point in my career, to be honest with you. I have a sense of humor about it. You know, I'm at an age where I'm lucky to get a script sent and that, you know, they ask me to do the role. And I have a new movie coming out, and I did a movie in 2009 with Oren Peli. And so I read the script, and if I like the character, you bet I'm going to do it.
Right.
At this point, I don't even look at how much money they're paying very often, because I don't put money into the equation about whether or not I decide to do a film or not.
Well, that's a real testament to how much you love what you do.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a firm believer that if you love what you do and you're passionate about what you do, money is really not the issue, because you're going to do it. You know, I know just doing things I love, I would do it for pennies, peanuts probably. You know, if you enjoy it, you're going to get more out of it in that regard than, you know, any money amount could ever pay you to enjoy it as much. So now let's talk about your music, because as well as you're an accomplished actress, you are also quite accomplished musician, singer, and let's talk about your career in that.
You know, I love music, and what I love about music is that nobody can tell you can go to work or not. Nobody has to cast you. Nobody has to think of you for a part. Last night, my guitar player came over. I fixed us a bite to eat, and we went into the studio, and we worked on two new songs. And nobody's paying me to do that. I don't know if they'll be successful. But the process of doing the music gives me more fulfillment than any of the other art forms. I love to sit down at the piano and see what comes out. We were changing a couple of notes to see what's cooler, what makes it work better. And I absolutely love writing music, because I can go do it whenever I feel like doing it.
Yes, that's so true. I feel the same way about music. And music is probably one of the few mediums that you can really be, you know, you can be as creative as you want to be. You aren't limited in what you can do.
Exactly. I'm in full control of it. I don't have to listen to a director. I mean, I certainly like input from the band, my band. I have great players in my band, or my producer, whoever I'm working with. But when I'm sitting there and writing a song, and it's just an amazing, I get an amazing sense of freedom and creativity that really I can't compare it with any of the other art forms that I like.
Mm-mm. Yes, and at the end of the day, you know, you've still got your music to fall back on if you are not acting, and that's the beauty of it. I love, you know, the fact that music is one of those things that it's universal, and that no matter where you come from or, you know, what you like or what you dislike, it tends to unify people and bring people together like nothing else does. And
it does, and it can reflect what, you know, when I'm writing music, it reflects what I'm feeling at the moment. Maybe it's not exactly something I'm going through or an experience I'm actually having, say, like a breakup, or I've met someone, or, you know, whatever. I mean, because, you know, music is about, when I write music, it's my general mood of what I'm experiencing for that week or that day or whatever is reflected in the music when I write it. And I was telling my guitar player last night, his name is Hank Barrio, he's fabulous, and I just said, you know, I feel a new style coming on, because I feel more at peace this year for some reason, and mm-hmm. and I don't know why, but I just feel like my music is evolving into something a little bit different coming up. And I hope that's true, because I don't like to stay in one place all the time. The music
right.
can evolve with me as I age and get older or whatever I'm going through.
Now, I have to say that I absolutely love, love, love your new video song, Watch What You Ask For. That's such a fun video to watch and a fun song, and I thought it was even better with having Robert Englund on there.
Michael Behrman.
I mean, I'm thinking of the horror
cool.
movies.
People get them confused.
I'm thinking of the horror movies. With him on there, because it just fits so perfectly with the song.
Thank you. Well, you know, he's a neighbor of mine, and we're really good friends. And he feels like he's a brother. And, you know, we met on the set of The Hills Have Eyes.
Right,
and
right.
And he raped me in The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh.
And he, I told him I was going to do this music video about, and I thought I'd make it about internet dating, the perils of internet dating. And he said, well, you know, do you want, I want to be in it. I said, oh my God, I would be so honored to have you in it. And so, and then I also have Brooke Lewis in it, who's a horror, who's known in the horror genre. And it was just so much fun doing it. We had so much fun.
Was she the waitress?
She's the waitress. She,
okay.
The horror, her horror fans know her as Miss Vampy, I believe. And
oh, okay.
she wore the T-shirt Miss Vampy, but she's the waitress in it. So, and these were my, these are people I hang out with who just asked to be in it, and it was so much fun doing it. Pure joy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, did you come up with the idea for it?
Uh huh. I wrote it,
oh, okay.
And I have all these girlfriends that are out there internet dating, and I tell them, you know, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
And there's so mm-hmm. many crazy people, and I think a lot of people lie on it, and you know, or they're married or whatever. And so I hadn't seen anybody do any kind of satire on it. It is purely a comedy. I had a couple of people say, "Oh, that's really gross," because I get my throat slit, and so, but it's just a comedy. There's nothing. It shouldn't be dark for anyone. It's just kind of a, you know, a
no,
horror
it was
comedy.
Fun. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, there's definitely a message there that's, you know, a reality kind of thing, like you said, with people dating on the internet. And it used to be where people would post ads in the newspapers. Well, I'm sure they probably still do that. But because I had a friend that used to answer those ads, and she'd always say, you know, come with me, I don't want to go by myself. And we always made sure we were in a public venue, you know, like a restaurant or something that had people around us, because you just don't know who you're going to meet on there.
Yeah, even after you get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
If they're a stranger, I actually have a young friend who's in her 30s, mid-30s, and she just had a child with somebody she met on the internet, and oh God, I won't go into it, but it's become a nightmare. And that was part of it, part of my motivation in writing the song too. Watch what you ask for; you
mm-hmm.
just might get it. And
right.
So that was the motivation. That was part of the motivation for the song.
Well, I can see it. I got that message loud and clear.
Good.
And I think that my daughter needs to look at it that when she comes home, she's out visiting with friends.
You know what, that's what I said. My producer said, God, well, you know, it's too graphic and everything. I said, you know what,
no.
that is for your daughter to see. You
exactly.
know, the young girls that are out there foolishly going to places, you know, it has a message in it. And my music, my messages are all female-driven. I'm very much into women's rights and women's issues. And so I tried to do that video with entertainment in mind, but also for young girls to see, you know, watch what can happen and be entertained while you watch it, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, you can be fun and still get a message out. I totally believe that. And it would bring more younger women to watch it because they don't actually know that there is going to be a message, and then they'll get it, you know. So that's a good thing. And that's what the next subject I was going to bring up. You've been such a pioneer for women and for so long and have done so much for them. Tell us why this is so important to you and what you've done.
When I was 6 years old, I was out in the front yard, and my father said, go put on a shirt. Now, it was a hot Texas day, and I said, well, I was six, and my brother is a year younger than me. And I go, well, Tommy doesn't have to wear a shirt. He's a boy. It's different. I've had an attitude ever since. That, you know, I should be able to go without a shirt, too. Now, at this age, I wouldn't attempt it. And as I got older, I understood. But, you know, I think that had a huge impact on me, and I couldn't figure out what the difference was. And as I got older, as I went, you know, girls had to wear dresses in school, and you know, the rules just weren't the same, and I rebelled against it since I was young. I moved to New York very early on and ended up working with Gloria Steinem and on a TV show. It was a pilot called Woman Alive. It was about women's issues. And as I began to, not only had I been affected by it growing up, and I was talking to Hank last night about it. I said, you know, women have only been able to vote since 1919, the year that my father was born. I looked that up the other night after I watched Lincoln. I saw Lincoln at a theater, and I came home and I did some research on exactly what years, you know, that women were given rights. Even in the 1900s, they weren't allowed to own property. And all of that stirs me so passionately. And my last show I did at Lucy's 51, I asked people to bring toys for this Christmas for children of domestic violence. Children are so affected by their mothers being abused in domestically violent homes.
I can relate
to that.
Mm-hmm.
And my father had his moments with my mother. I don't need to go into the details, mm-hmm. but I just couldn't understand why she would stay and why she was so powerless.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to me that women understand how powerful they are. And I was reading something yesterday about these men in China now, because the government had killed off all the babies, all the baby girls, or put them away, or put them up, you know, I don't know what happened to them, but most families aborted any kind of, if they knew that they were having a female baby.
Yeah.
Well, now there are all these men, and they can't find a wife. There are no women to marry.
Right.
And now the Chinese society is being greatly affected because they got rid of all the girls. I mean, it's like, I can't change the world, but if I can have any kind of effect as I go along to empower women, that is what drives me most passionately, is empowering women not to take abuse, not to be used, and to be relaxed in their own skin and who they are, and to feel their power. It's that, to me, is more important than acting and art. All of it is, if I can have any kind of effect, you know, for women to feel their power. And, you know, sometimes I look at these new videos and women being so, you know, making themselves nothing but sex objects. It feels like we're going backward, not forward.
Right, right. And I agree with you that women need to know that they have to educate themselves and not to count on anyone else. And you are, you know, powerful enough to do that for yourself. When my mom got a divorce back in the day, she had no skills, no credit in her name, nothing. She had to start from scratch. And I watched her struggle, and that was very sad. And that was like in the 70s, you know, so women weren't what they are today at that time. And she had, of course, grew up, you know, in the 50s and that. So that was pounded in their head. You know, you go to school, you graduate, you marry somebody, you take care of your husband and your kids, and you're a homemaker, and that's it for you.
Right. Right. My mother took verbal abuse mostly from my father. That I was just astounded that she decided to stay through all of that, and mm-hmm. they never did divorce. But after he passed on, she married a man that was so loving to her, and I think she finally saw. I think her regret was that she had wasted all these years letting somebody not be nice to her, you know.
Right.
But one of the fears that I have with the social media thing is that a lot of my girlfriend's children are thinking that they're working when they're on Facebook or on Twitter. It's become, are they're becoming famous or something through Facebook or Twitter,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
from the social media, and they're not getting educated. Like it was driven, an education was emphasized when I was growing up.
Exactly.
And in the 60s and late 60s, 70s, 80s, it wasn't a question. You went to college. And I think that because of the economy and social media, a lot of the girls are not, they're going backward, and they're thinking, oh, I'll meet a guy and I'll get married and blah, blah, blah. And there's been less of a an emphasis on getting an education. And I really hate seeing that. I really hate seeing it.
I
see it with a lot of the kids that are in their early 20s right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking they're going to be famous because of the reality TV
they make it look so easy.
They make it look so easy, and it's not real. That is not real.
Right.
And so that's one thing that I'm trying to emphasize to some of the girls that I meet is that, you know, you've got to get educated. You've got to know, you know, what how you're going to make it through in this world, because it's not getting easier. It's getting harder.
Exactly. And you fit right in with our January Women's Empowerment Month theme, because we are trying to empower women through their mind, body, and spirit. And what everything you've just talked about just fits right in. And we're so thankful that there are people out there like you, women like you, that are trying to get that message across.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's very important. It's very important. But some of the boys aren't getting educated either. They're dropping
out.
That's
true. That's true.
And so it applies to some of the boys, as young men as well.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, with kids, because you have to think about yourself, too, back when you were a teenager and you think, well, you've got forever to go back to school, or you have forever to do this or do that. And before you know it, you're at the point where I'm at, married with four kids and, you know, embarking on a new career. And it's not, there's not just time. I mean, time goes by quicker than you think.
Time goes by very, very quickly, and but because of you doing what you're doing, your children get to see an example of somebody who's actually had an idea and decided to go do it, and it takes work. Anything that you do takes work. You can't sit around and talk about it or think about it. You've got to actually go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing something, obviously you're doing something that you were passionate about before you started doing it. You know, you got the idea, and then you did all the things that you needed to do to learn how to do what you're doing, and then put it into action. And a lot of people just think, well, I think I'll write a song, or think I'll have a band. Well,
mm-hmm.
you've got to get your butt in there and write some music, and, you know, audition people and talk to people and put it together and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and then do it. And it's not easy. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing
right.
worth doing. You know, nothing that is rewarding like that, it comes easy.
Right. And when you're thinking about doing something, people out there in society that may be able to help you get into whatever it is you want to do, and say it's, you know, being a singer, they're not going to know that unless you're working on it and you're doing something and you're putting something out there. They're not just going to say, oh, she had a thought, let's go help her. You know, so they definitely need to do that. They
exactly.
need to work on it.
And Matt Damon
is handed
was talking
to us on a silver platter, so.
Right. Matt Damon was talking about Ben Affleck on an interview that I saw recently, and he was explaining that Ben was had gotten into actor's jail, you know, that he had done a couple of movies that went belly up, they were not successful, and he had to rethink and regroup and you know, recharge and develop his own project. So now he has Argo out and he's back on top. But,
right,
you know,
right.
that's – I don't care who you are, and even if he has a staff that might help him put things together, he himself has to sit down and do that work. And I don't think that people see how much work that takes and how much time it takes.
Right. Yeah, I know a lot of people out there probably think, okay, I got an idea, let's do this, and boom, it's happening. No, this takes years with a lot of things. So, and even if you choose to do something and you stumble and fall, you just get back up and you think of a new way to do it, or you move on to something else. Every person doesn't have only one idea in their head.
Exactly. I mean, I have failed so many times, I can't even tell you. And
right?
I just have to step back at it and look and think, what was I thinking? You know,
yeah,
and be okay with it and not let it destroy me, you know.
Yeah.
Just get back up on that horse and ride, you know. You got to – but I'm a doer, and I've always been pretty fearless about chasing my ideas and my dreams and going for what I wanted to do. And I'm not a lazy person. Some people say, how do you do all these things? I don't know. I just do it. I don't even really have a choice. I'm passionately driven to do that.
Because I say the same thing when people ask me, how do I do all these things? Or how does Dawn do all those things? Dawn of 9 different hats that she wears. You just do them. You don't think about it. Just do
it. Right.
And before you know it, they're done.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I like the process of living, you know, in the moment. And I've never had what I would consider a job, because I've always worked so hard at the things I was passionate about doing that I was able to make a living. Not always a great living, but a living. And that to me is a huge gift that, you know, I feel is from the universe or God. You know, I feel very blessed that I've been able to follow my passion and make a living at doing what I love doing.
Right. Yeah, not many people get to do that. And I'm proud of Dawn, because Dawn has embarked on getting her master's degree and at this time in her life, and she works, she works very hard at doing that. She works a full-time job. She does my show co-hosting. She has her own radio show. And she has children, and she goes to school, and she gets her homework done, and she's an A student. So
I'm very proud
of her. Yeah,
Dawn, that's fabulous. Go, girl.
Thank you.
I think I'm going to bed after hearing all that.
I know that it's so true what you say about, you know, when you're passionate about something, you just do it. You don't think about, you know, the toll involved or the long hours or the hard work. You just do it, because when you love it and you love what you do, it's not work. It is part of what you love. So it makes it, you know, more enjoyable than just the average person getting up and going to work every day to a job.
I know.
That,
I mean,
you know,
so many people say, a lot of people say, what do you do for fun? My work.
Right.
But what do you do for fun? My work.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people don't get that. But when you are really doing what you love, be it career or what have you, you know, you can honestly say when you get up to go to work, you're not going to work. You're getting up to go to your career, what drives you, what your passion is. And, you know, work is one thing. Work is what pays the bills. A career is what, you know, pays you. It's what, you know, gives back to you what you put into it. And
exactly.
And so it is a passion, and it's driven by that. And so you don't think of it as people who get up and go to work 8 to 5 every day and think, oh, it's Friday yet on Monday, you know. So it's a big, big, big difference.
It certainly is.
Yeah, I see Dawn's attitude on Fridays when she's off of her job or work. Yay, it's Friday. Now I get to have fun. And she works on the shows because she loves it, you know.
Right.
So that's so great. It's so great.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for spending time with us and learning more about you, and I'm very proud to say that I've spoken with you and what you're doing in all aspects of your life and in helping women, and that means a lot to us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I put on my Facebook, what a great way to start off the new year is to talk to you guys and be interviewed by Take Two. And, I really want to thank you for the interview and the time you've spent with me and letting me share my life with you all. And I wish you a wonderful new year and
thank you.
And the entire year.
Yeah.
thanks so much.
You're welcome. And I also want to say, if you want to follow Suze on Twitter, she's at Lanier underscore Bramlett, and that's L-A-N-I-E-R underscore B as in boy, R-A-M as in Mary, L-E-T-T as in Tom. And as she's mentioned, she has a Facebook, and she also has a website. It's SuzeLanierBramlett.com. You can find everything out about her, as well as her upcoming appearances and her wonderful music.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and happiest of New Year's to you, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks so much. We'll talk again
sometime.
Yes, okay.
Definitely. Thank
okay.
you
so much.
All righty,
God bless you.
You too.
Bye
bye.
Thank you.
Bye
bye. Such an interesting woman. I mean, you know, of course we love her as an actress, of course we love her as a singer, but I love what she's doing for women. I love what she's trying to change and make young girls or even older women understand the power of who they are and what they can accomplish in their lives if they put their mind to it and believe in themselves.
Yes, and she's very, very wise. I love her, you know, the way she thinks and just how passionate she is about this issue and women's issues in general, you know. But she's passionate in many ways, you know, only in her work.
In life.
But she can, yeah, she's passionate about life. And that's a rare quality to have because not many people possess that. And but you can tell that she loves what she does for a living, be it acting, singing. She really, you know, is living the charm life, so to speak, and enjoying every moment that she has. So, you know, and that's an inspiring thing in itself.
Exactly, exactly. And we're going to wrap up, but before we do, I want to tell you that you can follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio, and that's the number two. Dawn is at Dawn Take Two Radio. Our website is take2radio.com, and we do also have a Facebook. You can listen to our previous interviews on our website. You can follow us on Blog Talk, listen to the podcast there. You can listen for free on iTunes. We've recently started a YouTube channel where we're slowly uploading the interviews on there, and that would be at the Take Two Radio on YouTube. Also, tonight we have a second show at 7:30 Eastern Time, and we are welcoming David Tokachi, and we were going to talk about his career. Some of you may know him on Baywatch, but he is embarking on a new show that's coming out in a couple days. It's where there's celebrities that are diving. It's going to be on Fox. So we hope that you will join us for our second show at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And with that, we want to thank our listeners who have joined us tonight. And we will talk to you again soon. God bless and good night.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop. Baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.